We will take on the debate over President Obama's executive orders in today's Big Question. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, July 2nd. President Obama says he is ready to act alone to pass certain measures, including immigration reform, citing lack of cooperation from congressional Republicans.
I take executive action only when we have a serious problem, a serious issue, and Congress chooses to do nothing.
Meanwhile, House Speaker John Boehner says Obama is overstepping his authority with executive orders and is planning on suing him.
The Constitution makes it clear that a president's job is to faithfully execute the laws. In my view, the president has not faithfully executed the laws.
So whose side do you generally support when it comes to the use of presidential powers, when it comes to executive action? President Obama or Speaker Boehner? That's today's big question. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk at WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our guest. John Hudak is a fellow in governance studies and managing editor of the FixGov blog with the Brookings Institution. His areas of expertise include presidential power in the context of administration, personnel, and public policy. He is also the author of Presidential Pork, White House Influence Over the Distribution of Federal Grants. Good morning.
Joy, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being with us. Well, yesterday, President Obama said, so sue me. He said, if Congress doesn't act or refuses to act on issues important to the middle class, yesterday he was talking about infrastructure repair. He says he's going to act alone. Is he within his rights to do this?
Well, every president uses executive authority in a variety of ways, and our system of checks and balances is set up so that when the president oversteps or the Congress oversteps, the courts are there to rein that power in. But that said, the president is on fairly strong footing, as courts tend to defer to presidential power, surely not in all cases, but presidents and the attorneys around them are very aware of the limits of those powers, and sometimes they push the envelope a bit, but other times that they act in ways that other presidents have and the court has said is okay.
Well, can you just give us a sense, I guess a historical sense to some extent, put this into context. Is President Obama using executive action a whole lot more than other presidents?
No, those claims are patently false. Any look at what the president is doing, the types of powers he is exercising, are perfectly consistent with the history of the office. Creating regulations. Every president creates regulations. Democrats and even Republicans who hate regulations surely love to create them. The issuing of executive orders, for instance, the research we've done here at Brookings has shown that President Obama has issued executive orders at a slower rate than any president since the late 1800s. The use of signing statements has declined. All that said, the sheer number of executive actions doesn't necessarily reflect the substance of them. But as we've seen, the president has generally waded into areas that other presidents have as well, regulating the environment, using executive actions to affect the federal workforce and federal contracting. These are all areas that presidents are used to participating in, and this president is as well.
Yeah. Well, what about this one on Monday for immigration reform? Was that typical?
So the certain areas of policy some presidents ignore entirely or stay away from with executive orders. This president, what he sought to do so far, at least with immigration reform, was use prosecutorial discretion to decide which people to deport and which ones not to, a power that the court has upheld, as saying the president has. And in fact, the court just last year suggested that was a perfectly acceptable use of presidential power. But moving forward, what the president wants to do is participate in a process, and that is talk to administration attorneys, some of them appointed, some of them career government attorneys, and say, listen, what can I do here? He's not just acting alone. He's not just sitting in his office saying, I'm going to do this and this and this and this. He's going to his attorneys and saying, tell me what my powers are here. And I think that's the difference between what is actually happening in the executive branch and what the president is sometimes vilified for doing. That this is a thoughtful process, and he's getting advice from other people. He's not simply just acting alone.
Mm-hmm. Well, what is make the case or explain the case of Speaker John Boehner? Why does he think that the president is overstepping his authority?
Sure. So the speaker's coming from a few perspectives on this one. First, there are instances in where presidents do overstep their authority. And as I said before, the system of checks and balances are there to make sure that is kept in check. The president, for instance, this term was told by the court that he did overstep his authority in announcing recess appointments to the National Labor Relations Board. In short, the court said that when the president said the Senate was in recess, the Senate was not actually in recess. And so the court rebuked the president for that. And so from that perspective, the speaker is saying, listen, we have experience with this. And we're going to move forward with it. That said, much of what's happening with the speaker and with his lawsuit grows more out of politics, and for him, the politics of self-preservation, him trying to remain in the good graces of the right wing of his party and to remain as speaker, than it really is any nuanced constitutional argument.
Yeah. Well, can the argument, though, be made that, you know, that the representatives of the people should be passing the public policy and legislation, and that the president shouldn't be trying to do this through an executive order?
Well, I think one of the biggest advocates out there for the need for the Congress to pass laws to address its problems is the president himself. He said it the other day in his speech about immigration reform. He said, you know, I would love nothing more than for a bill to come out of Congress and for me to be able to sign it. But bills aren't coming out of Congress. We're currently at a historic low. Or at least a modern historic low for a lack of productivity in Congress. And so there are two perspectives. One is, well, the Congress isn't doing anything, so nothing's going to get done. The other is, the Congress isn't doing anything, but the president still has powers to get at least a little bit done, and he should do that. And I think every president takes that perspective, and this president is as well. Now, of course, there's bounds to that. He can't go too far. He can't always implement everything that he wants, and oftentimes can't implement everything he wants. But the idea that he is entirely held back by the fact that Congress isn't acting just isn't quite consistent with the general understanding and the Supreme Court's understanding of presidential power.
We are talking this hour with John Hudak, a fellow in governance studies and managing editor of the FixGov blog with the Brookings Institution. We are discussing the debate over President Obama's executive orders, and we are wondering if you side with the president on the issuing of these executive orders on a wide variety of different issues, or if you side with Republican House Speaker John Boehner, who says that he plans to sue the president, saying he's overstepping his authority. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. You can also vote in our online poll, which is at WPR.org/joy. It's also on our Facebook page. So do you think President Obama is going too far with executive orders or not? And why or why not? That's today's big question. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. We are talking with a guest political expert about this debate over the president's executive actions, discussing the president's history with executive action, and inviting you to weigh in. We have lots of callers. So let me first, though, I want to present an opposing viewpoint. AJ on Facebook says, Article 1, Section 1 of the Constitution says, all legislative powers herein granted shall be vested in a Congress of the United States. I can't seem to find anywhere in Article 2 that it says the president shall get her done. John?
Sure. Well, AJ is absolutely correct. The legislative power in the United States rests with the Congress, with the legislative department. And as part of that, the Congress is telling the president frequently that he has administrative power, that he has the power to engage in regulatory action and to take other powers in areas of spending and other. So most of what, for instance, some of the executive orders the president has issued surrounding federal contracting and the federal workforce, that grows out of a law from 1949. It's a bit obscure, but it's called the Federal Property and Administrative Services Act. In that, the Congress tells the president, it gives the president leeway to set up and administer a federal contracting system. So while the I think it's easy to say, well, the president has no constitutional authority to do A, B, C, and D, that might be true. The Constitution doesn't say it, but the Congress does. The Congress says we have legislative needs, we have policy needs, and we can't do it all here in Congress. So the executive branch has to do a lot of this, and so. The president is using that Article 1 power that Congress has transferred to him to get a lot of this done.
Yeah. Maybe we do need to make sure we're clear on exactly what these executive orders are. This is not creating some brand it touches on policy, but it's not some massive new public policy. It's sort of specific regulations within a policy.
Yeah, so what executive orders do, they have the force of law, and what they do is adjust policy in certain ways that are either consistent with other areas of law or consistent with the Constitution or are consistent with just the daily needs that go with administering a government. Now, separate from that is regulatory power, and a lot of regulatory action comes out of Supreme Court precedent. It comes out of the Administrative Procedures Act and other areas that allow agencies to create rules that are consistent with legislation and that respond to Congress's push to have them create these regulations.
All right, let's take a call from Helene in Madison. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, I agree with what the guest is saying, and I would wish that maybe the Republican voters could sue their legislators for not doing anything and thinking that they're fulfilling their duty by just blocking anything that they think the Obama administration could take credit for accomplishing, because they're not fulfilling their duty that they were elected for. And I think that's why the president has to resort to consulting his lawyers and trying to do something with administrative orders.
Mm-hmm. John?
I think that, thanks for the call, Helene. I think that the idea of suing the president or suing the administration as something that is inherently bad is a problem. Lawsuits against the administration help fulfill the checks and balances system. And as I said, this president has overstepped in certain areas, his administration has, and so have other presidents. And so that's healthy. But let's take the recess appointments case that was issued last week. In that case, a private company sued the National Labor Relations Board, and oftentimes that's what happens. A private company, an interest group, an individual who has been harmed sues the administration, and then they have their day in court. The idea of the Speaker or the House of Representatives suing the president creates a political situation where courts have typically been unwilling to wade into. And so for those who think that the president has overstepped his bounds, either broadly or on specific issues, I would argue that the Speaker's actions in this case of wanting to sue the president may not actually be the most effective way to push forward their cause.
What would be?
I think going the normal route, having private individuals or private companies who have been harmed, who can demonstrate that harm, as Noel Canning did, take the administration to court. People in companies and groups do this all the time, and sometimes they're successful, sometimes they're not. But to introduce the politics into it as explicitly as the speaker is typically a risky area.
Yeah, well, Helene said something that I'm sure a lot of listeners were nodding their heads. You know, people, the public should have the right, voters should have the right to sue Congress for not doing its job. But is it Congress's job to pass policies that the president wants?
No, but one would argue that it is the job of Congress to pass the policies that Congress wants. And in several cases, immigration is one. There are votes in Congress to pass a bill, and procedures, internal House and Senate rules are what is holding it up. And so you're absolutely right. It's not Congress's job to do what the president says, and that would be an extraordinarily unhealthy system. Even when the president had filibuster-proof majorities in the Senate and a large majority in the House during the first 2 years of his administration, he got pushback from Congress, and that's healthy. That said, the idea that there are two alternatives, that either Congress does what it is currently doing, which is not a whole lot, or a Congress that is just a yes man for the president, if those are our two goals, our system is pretty broken. There's some middle ground where there's cooperation, and that's what's a healthy part of a Republican democracy.
Paul in Elkhorn is with us now. Hello, Paul.
Hi, I have a couple of different things. First off, the president asking for immigration reform, I mean, I think the answer is that since they're not passing it, he should enforce the laws that are already on the books. And then secondly, instead of suing, Boehner should, I mean, I agree with your guest that Boehner suing the president is bad precedent. If they think he's doing that bad of a job, they should do what the Constitution says, and they should do impeachment. I'm not necessarily saying that they should do that, but instead of a lawsuit, that's the proper way of doing it.
Is that, well, first, because that was last, is that the proper way of doing it, John?
Well, it's certainly an approach that they have. I think it would certainly be a waste of time. The House could probably pass articles of impeachment against the president if they rounded up enough troops. The Senate, of course, would never convict this president. It's a Democratic majority, and you need a two-thirds majority to remove a president. But Paul's point is well taken. There's also a third way that Congress can deal with the executive actions that the president is taking, and that is pass legislation. As I said earlier, most of what the president is doing grows out of either Supreme Court precedent, which is based on legislation, or the legislation itself, or both. What the Congress can do then is just reformat the legislation on which all of this is based, and then that ties the president's hands, and it will tie his hands directly and through any legal proceedings that there are. So the Congress not doing anything, especially some Republicans see, is a good way to stop the president. In reality, it's empowering the president, and the lack of legislation is also stopping the Congress's ability to rein it in.
A comment on the immigration executive order. Our caller says that, you know, if Congress doesn't pass anything new, the administration should just deal with what laws are on the books and enforce the laws that are on the books.
Sure, and in a lot of ways, the president is enforcing the laws that are on the books. The idea, what the president has done at least so far in enacting what some people call the Dream Act Light, is he is using prosecutorial discretion. A power of the presidency that's been upheld by cases in the 1980s and a case as recent as last year. What it says is that the president has a limited amount of resources to enforce the law. This is true for any police department, for in really any enforcement division, including the federal government. And they have to make choices about how to use those resources to enforce the law. The president has the power then to pick and choose under certain circumstances how to use those resources to enforce. And the president has chosen to do that in a specific way when it comes to immigration enforcement. Every president does this with enforcement, and this president is no different.
Yeah. So while President Obama hasn't issued a great number of executive orders compared to other presidents, is the content of his executive orders much different than those in the past?
So I will qualify my answer first by saying that while I've read a great number of President Obama and President Bush's executive orders, I can't speak necessarily explicitly to how they all compare to previous presidents.
Okay.
There have been thousands. But what I will say is that the areas in which the president has engaged, at least in terms of executive orders, but this is true of regulatory action as well, is generally consistent with the types of areas and the types of things that prior presidents have done in the past. And so that's an important point. Just because another president did it doesn't mean that it's right, but it surely competes with the idea that this president is acting in unprecedented ways.
We will check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we will continue discussing today's big question as to whether or not President Obama is going too far or acting appropriately with his executive orders.
Middle-class families can't wait for Republicans in Congress to do stuff. So sue me. As long as they're doing nothing, I'm not going to apologize for trying to do something.
That was President Obama yesterday daring Republican House Speaker John Boehner to follow through on his threat to file a lawsuit over President Obama's use of executive action. And it is the subject of today's big question. Do you side with President Obama or John Boehner on the issue of executive orders? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 7:37 on this Wednesday, July 2nd. We are talking with a political expert talking about Obama's history of executive action, whether it's appropriate or not, to advance issues like immigration reform or any of the other recent actions taken by the president. And we're welcoming your input, your questions, your views. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is John Hudak, a fellow in governance studies and managing editor of the FixGov blog with the Brookings Institution. His areas of expertise include presidential power in the context of administration, personnel, and public policy. He's also the author of Presidential Pork, White House Influence Over the Distribution of Federal Grants. And our next caller is Clarence in Watertown. Hello, Clarence.
Good morning. Good morning. Was recalling that then candidate Obama soundly criticized former President Bush for issuing executive orders and saying that, you know, as president, he would work with the Congress, and he would not use the executive orders to get things done and accomplish policy changes or what have you. And I think, like the recent Supreme Court decision that said, you know, the president could not make recess appointments, that Congress wasn't actually in recess. I think President Obama was looking to help his base, the labor unions, because I'm assuming he didn't appoint any pro-business people to the National Labor Relations Board. And with immigration, he would, again, be playing to the Latino-Hispanic base to get them to, you know, come and make sure they stay with the Democratic Party. And
yeah, all right, Clarence. So a couple of different points here. Did President Obama criticize President Bush for using executive orders?
Well, to clarify a few points there, the president's, as Clarence said, then candidate Obama's harshest critiques of the President Bush in this arena were with regard to his use of signing statements. And signing statements are these informal messages that presidents attach to a bill as they sign it that essentially at times says, I will or will not enforce certain provisions of this law because they are inconsistent with the Constitution. And President Bush issued those quite frequently, or at least compared to other presidents, quite frequently. But Clarence's point is right. President Obama criticized the use of them, and he still uses them himself. The president or Senator Obama at the time did say that he wanted to work with Congress more than relying on things like signing statements. And for a long time, the president did. And then a Congress came into power that was unwilling to work with him as well. And so cooperation across the branches is a two-way street. The president can do some, but the Congress has to be willing to do some as well. And we've had periods of history where that has broken down, and we're currently in one. I think Clarence is right. The NLRB decision on recess appointments is an important rebuke of the president. And while the actual impact of the case isn't a huge loss for the executive branch, in this specific case it was. But I do have to clarify one point. The NLRB, the membership on that board requires party balancing. So there have to be a mixture of Democrats and Republicans on that board by law. And so the president did appoint Democrats to the board, but he also appointed a Republican as well because one of the Republican seats was vacant.
Yeah. And not to get too much in the weeds on that particular executive order or the rebuke of it, wasn't there something odd where the president said, okay, I'm going to make this recess appointment because you're out of session, but there was actually something put in place to have the Senate perpetually in session?
Yeah, this was something that Democrats started during the Bush administration to prevent recess appointments, and the president essentially ignored that and said that it wasn't a real productive session, and so he had the authority to make the appointments. The court saw otherwise.
Yeah, and when it comes to Clarence's point, I guess he was saying, in essence, that a lot of these executive actions that the president is taking are to appeal to Democratic voters.
Oh, sure. I mean, every president, that's true of every president. You take executive actions that are consistent with your policy views, and your policy views tend to be consistent with your base. I mean, President Bush did this in areas of clean coal energy and in surely the oil and gas industry that appealed to his base. He did a lot that was pro-business, President Bush did, that appealed to his base. And President Obama has done quite a bit as well. I will say, with regard to the immigration issue, my guess is the president thinks of this as a true humanitarian crisis and a real crisis of conscience in the United States. As long as the Republicans keep discussing issues like immigration, I don't think he needs to do much to keep Latinos in his base. The Republicans are taking care of that for him.
And very briefly, that immigration executive order stops deportations?
Well, so there are two parts. There was an administrative action that took place 2 years ago that directed Secretary of Homeland Security directed immigration enforcement not to use resources deporting people who fell under certain criteria. Mm-hmm. They were children who were brought here when they were young and hadn't committed crimes and a whole series of criteria. What the president spoke about the other day were executive actions that he is considering taking, and he's going to have Homeland Security and the Department of Justice look into what he can do, but no actions have been exercised.
I see. Well, I'm glad that that was clarified. Yesterday, he was, when he really took Congress to task and said, so sue me, he was also talking about the Congress not doing anything when it comes to improving the nation's infrastructure. Does he have executive action in mind to start some highway projects?
So the ability of the president to influence federal spending is actually fairly broad. Once the money has been appropriated by Congress to the executive branch, there are certain restrictions on how much money can be used by each agency on each program. But within agencies and within programs and within accounts, that money can be moved around quite a bit. My book, Presidential Pork, shows that at least on the margins, presidents use this in ways that advance their electoral interests, that send money to swing states. Presidents also do it to fund the types of projects they want. As I said, President Bush spent a lot of money on clean coal. President Obama spends a lot of money on renewable energy. And so as long as he's not transferring money, say, from the Department of Labor to the Department of Transportation, which he cannot do, he still has pretty broad abilities to start moving money around to fund certain infrastructure projects in certain areas.
Chris on Facebook says, if executive orders are a problem, I haven't made my statement in this regard, then we the people should seek some means of removing them. Until such time, for better or worse, executive orders are the law of the land.
So executive orders have the force of law, and they grow out of legislative action, typically out of legislative action. And so the individual posting on Facebook, I've missed his name, but he's right. There is a way to stop, not all executive orders necessarily, but there are ways in which you can curtail executive orders in certain areas, and that's for Congress to go in and start changing the laws that authorize the president to do these things. Congress isn't doing that, and that's why this practice continues.
We are talking with John Hudak. He is a fellow in governance studies and managing editor of the FixGov blog with the Brookings Institution. We are talking with him about today's big question, and we have an open line for you if you want to weigh in with a thought or a question. We wonder if you think President Obama is acting appropriately in issuing these executive orders, taking these executive actions that House Speaker John Boehner says are inappropriate. And Speaker Boehner says he plans to sue President Obama over these executive orders. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. So, how successful might a lawsuit by John Boehner against President Obama be?
Well, first we need to know what the speaker wants to sue the president over. He's spoken in very vague terms that he wants to sue the president over his expansive executive action. And I mean, there are surely going to be things over the next final two years of the president's term that are struck down by the court. As I said earlier, it's a fairly regular process that all presidents endure. But until we understand what this lawsuit looks like, we won't have a really good read on how successful the speaker might be. That said, there's this concept that courts face called political questions. And the short of that is when there is an issue involving the branches that is mainly political and not legal, or one that the political process can sort out, courts are loath to address those issues, because their own success, their own effectiveness depends on the cooperation of the other branches. And so John Boehner's name being on a lawsuit already makes this a little bit more political than if another name were on the lawsuit, as I said earlier, a private company or an individual. So in that sense, it seems like an uphill battle. It seems like an uphill battle because of the political question doctrine, but also because courts are quite willing to defer to presidents in a variety of areas. But like I said, until we see what the lawsuit looks like, it's hard to guess the chances of success.
Yeah, and taking the names out of it, should we as a people be concerned about our system of checks and balances being out of whack? Does the president have too much power that cannot be checked?
I think that's always a very healthy discussion to have. And if people are up in arms about it, there are electoral solutions to this. You start electing candidates who are able to hold the president to account. You start electing presidents who are willing to, defer to Congress more often. Now, that said, we haven't had a president in quite some time who's been willing to do that, and it tends to be more of an issue of the office than any party. But that said, there are solutions to that, and most of them are at the ballot box. And I think when we have, political primaries that have turnout rates of 6 or 8 or 10%, when we have presidential elections where turnout rates are in the low to mid-50s, it's really hard to see a public that is angry enough to reform the system through the people who they pick. And until that happens, we're probably going to have much of the status quo.
Yeah. Well, Don on Twitter says, Boehner's threat is purely political. No compromise means no action. So do you think it's is it just a threat? I mean, where do you see this issue going?
Well, I think it's a win-win situation for the speaker. He threatens to sue the president, and he probably eventually will sue the president, and he is able to score points with his base in the same way that we were discussing before. Mm-hmm. Presidents use executive actions to score points with their base. So the speaker is going to be in the good graces of mainstream Republicans and Tea Party Republicans by doing this, and if he wins, that's great for him. The president gets rebuked. If he loses, it's going to be a hell of a fundraiser for the Republican Party. We can't even get the courts to rein in the president, would be the lead of the campaign fundraising email, I'm sure. And so for him, there's really no loss here. A loss is a win, and a win is a win.
And on the president's side, it sure doesn't sound like he's going to stop issuing these things.
No, and that's the interesting balance here. When you try to threaten a president's power, he usually reacts by exercising that power. It's like a parent dealing with children, and frankly, given this Congress, I think that's actually a pretty apt parallel. That if a child talks back to his parent, the worst thing the parent can do is pat him on the head. You have to show force, and that's what the president is doing in this situation, and it's what he's going to continue to do until the court tells him to stop.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
John Hudak is a fellow in governance studies and managing editor of the FixGov blog with the Brookings Institution, author of the book Presidential Pork, White House Influence Over the Distribution of Federal Grants. So you've heard him talk about the debate over President Obama's issuing of executive orders and Speaker Boehner's threat to sue the president over this executive action. Where do you stand? Do you side with the president or with Speaker Boehner on this issue? It's today's big question, and you can sound off 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Time now for you to sound off on today's big question. We give you 30 seconds to state your case. Today's big question: President Barack Obama says he is ready to act alone to pass certain measures, including immigration reform, citing a lack of cooperation from congressional Republicans. House Speaker John Boehner says Obama is overstepping his authority with executive orders and is planning on suing him. Whose side do you support when it comes to the use of presidential powers? Obama's or Boehner's, or don't you know? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Saul in Stevens Point is first. Hello, Saul.
Yeah, hi. I've been waiting for 5 years for this president to stand up. And he waited for months during the health care legislation when he had majorities in both houses for two votes and never got those from Congress. This is a guy that really did try to cooperate. I've been waiting for the Martin, Barton, and Fish speech that Roosevelt gave when his Congress blocked all of his legislation. I'm very happy to see it. I hope it continues.
Thank you very much. Susie in Stevens Point. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. All branches of government have an important role. I support the president. The administrative branch carries out the laws. I'm frustrated that my tax money is going into litigation. If the Supreme Court or the courts have an important role, but it should be in cases where there is clear evidence of overreach, and that's not the case here.
Thank you very much. Kurt in Milton is with us. Hi, Kurt.
Hello. My comment is, of the three branches of government, the executive branch has a lot of resources to do a great deal to advise and study. They've got all the different departments that they can task to get information. On the other hand, the congressional staffs are severely limited. My experience as an acquisition manager in the military managing multi-million-dollar programs is that congressional staffers were the only ones who could get into programs and really understand what should be done and how to advise, but there's just not enough of them. And
So that means that you side with Boehner in wanting to sue the president?
I side with Boehner because he doesn't have enough resources except for either contributors who are rich and can get studies done that he can quote, or the news media, and we don't have enough investigative journalists as it is.
Thank you, Kurt. Let's go to Thomas in Cuba City now. Hi, Thomas.
Hi, yes. I'm definitely with Obama. I think our Congress is ridiculous, and they're doing nothing and sitting back. I don't know what other choice the president has. And Boehner wants to sue the president. They talk all about responsible spending and that. Who's going to pay for that bill? This is ridiculous. Congress is sitting back, collecting a paycheck and doing absolutely nothing for this country. Caesar sang while Rome burned. That's my comment.
Thank you very much, Thomas. David on Facebook says, does not matter who does it, it's wrong. Another David on Facebook says, we elect the president to get the job done. The Congress has been total obstructionist, so he is doing what needs to be done. And Marty in Elkhorn is with us. Hello, Marty.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm going to posit that all of these Republican congressmen that do nothing but say no, we replace them with parrots taught to say no, and we can save the country millions and millions of dollars. Thank you.
All right. Thanks very much. Richard on Facebook says, what goes around comes around, just as the Bush Jr. cheerleading brigade has been doing. Now the shoe is on the other foot. So I guess he sides with President Obama. Let's go to Chet in Athens. Hi, Chet.
Good morning. Yes, I think if the Republican side of the House would spend more time trying to legislate instead of investigating, for example, ISIS spent time and money over multiple projects. So I wish that they would give our president a chance to be president, and it would help the whole country.
Thanks. All right. Thank you very much, Chet. Thanks for all of your sound-off calls. You can continue voting online at WPR.org/joy or find our poll on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.